Going on, Reality Daily listeners. This is Jeremy here, and we are talking Challenge 39, Episode 10. And boy, what an episode it was. 10 out of 10, in my opinion. And I can't talk about an episode like this alone. I've got to do it with my co-pilot, Mr. Naveed. Naveed, what did you think about this episode? 10 out of 10 or a little bit less?
10 out of 10, and they set up my guy Durrell up for failure. What was that elimination challenge? What was that elimination, MTV? Not a fan, but overall, though, I'm loving the episode. I thought the drama was great, and I'm ready to talk about it.
Full elimination, but, like, for Durrell? Yeah.
It was like one of those things where, like, you could have, like, pole wrestling, which I know they did already for, like, the girls. Or, like, I don't know, hall brawl or anything physical. Like, something that, like, Durrell is, like, known to be, like, really good at. And they decided to go with, like, this little, like, flamethrower thing, which, like you know, like you said, it looks really cool. It's a cool contraption. But, like, I just feel like this season, JB, they're setting up some of, like, the champions to their strengths. And then some of them are just kind of, like, 50-50 type of eliminations. Like, with Kaz, it felt like hers was, like, a bit, like, 50-50. But then with Jordan, for example, it felt like it was, like, up his alley.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about that elimination more in depth a little later on. But we also got to talk about everything that happened before then, because I'm going to be honest, Naveed, and this may be some recency bias. It probably is. This might be my favorite challenge episode in like 2 or 3 years. I am really high on this episode. I thought it had everything. I thought every person, I think for the first time all season, you know, everyone had a storyline and you understood everyone's motives going into this episode. And, you know, granted, that's probably because the cast is a lot smaller than it was at the beginning of the show, but I was really high on this episode. I really thought it was a really good episode. 10 out of 10.
Talk us through it. Talk me through it. Talk the audience through it. Like, what was, like, the main storyline that stood out to you that, like, really drove it to, like, a 10 out of 10?
I mean, I just think that, like, now that we're finally starting to see this core group start to crack a little bit, it's starting to make me think this is not going to be the steamroll that maybe we had anticipated a couple of weeks back. I don't know, like to me it seems like, oh, next week, like I'm I don't know what's going to happen, and I want to know what's next. And I haven't really, like, I felt that to an extent in the previous weeks, but this episode in particular made me excited for what's to come. And maybe that came with the mid-season trailer as well. But I think I thought this was the most dynamic episode I think we've seen yet.
So to play devil's advocate because I'm high on this episode too, but like it wouldn't be a good podcast if we're just over here sucking off the episode. To play devil's advocate, I'm actually going to argue that there was really no chance that Ed was going to go in, and they just overplayed it just so that, like, they could kind of get some drama. Because otherwise, I feel like when you're talking about, like, this whole entire, like, who's a bigger threat, who's like this, who's that, sure, Ed, it might have more endurance, but I feel like with how tight of an alliance he had going for him, I find it hard to believe that they were all willing to throw him under the bus just for, like, a finale that's like, so far away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because I do want to kind of go at this chronologically, at least what we saw on the show. But yeah, like Ed gets some camera time here in the early and before the challenge. And he's explaining how he was a Taekwondo champion. That I did not know. Did you know that?
I did not know that. He like his body's build, it does not seem like it would suit him for Taekwondo, but like my man can do like the 360 roundhouse kick like it's nothing. Like I was actually very impressed. Yeah. Like you know what? Special shout out to Zara, because in my opinion, for like I don't know like if she's done martial arts like in other like formats or whatever, but like that kick looked clean. Like I was impressed by like that, like just like, her little like high kick that she did. That was impressive. It had a little bit of power to it.
But I don't think, I haven't seen a whole lot of Ed up until this point. And even on his first season, he was kind of a background character and he really never came into play until, you know, he was like ticked off kind of thing. And so when he was getting screen time in the beginning, I was like, okay, either he's going to win the daily and we have to get some kind of like understanding of his motive, or he's going to lose the daily and be one of the names considered for nomination. And you know, so like we're anticipating that it's a guy's day because last week it was a girl, Alyssa, that's been eliminated. And So what we had seen, you know, Kylan's name come up because Kylan was attached to Melissa. And we know that James is also on the block because of his attachment with Mariah and the fact that he's really the only one out of the UK alliance that's still there. Out of the four guys that have gone home, you know, three of them have, I guess, been attached to the alliance. So he's really the last one left that isn't really in that Americanized alliance that Jay has kind of created that isn't really all American. It's mostly American. James is the only one that really isn't in that alliance. So we're going to get to the daily, though, and it's a two-team daily. And that I think is big. I kind of wish all of the dailies at this point were two teams because it really offers a chance for a lot of players to kind of shake up the game, because if half the house is safe, it puts more people in jeopardy. And that's what this week did, I think. What were your thoughts about the two-team daily format?
It's great because as you saw with like with Michelle, Olivia, and I think the Reese, they were kind of like shaking in their boots at the thought that it would be a girls' day because they're like, well, shit, like it's literally only like us four were the options here. So like it's not good for us if it's a girls' day. Versus like if you have like these like challengers where it's like teams of two or whatever, you're not really like worried because at the end of the day, even if you lose the challenge, there's a good chance that like someone in the minority, like whoever's paired up with like a Melissa or like a Big T as we saw or whatever, there's a good chance that they're going to go in. But now, like you said, with these two teams, it's just a lot more tension. And like you say, it gives more opportunity for these moves to happen.
Yeah. And this daily is called Skyball. So they're in two teams of eight and they have these massive balls at the top of the challenge, and the balls are gonna like these spheres are gonna fly. There's four challengers in there, and they have all these mini balls in there. There's 130 balls for each team. So once they like go in the air a couple times and get all dizzy, then they have to, you know, resituate themselves and throw the balls out. And I guess the ball is still spinning as they're throwing balls down. And so 130 balls are coming down from the sky, and the remaining four players on each team have to gather the balls and then get them into this pyramid. And the team that does it the fastest wins. I like this daily as well, Naveed, and I think that's part of the why I'm so high on this episode, because it not only did it like it had every aspect of what a challenge should be. You know, there's a little bit of daredevilness with the height, teamwork, there's you know, speed, accuracy, and there's a puzzle aspect to it as well that kind of so yeah, before they went into the air, the teammates on the ground had to make a puzzle in order for the team above to start being able to distribute balls. And the two teams, so there's the orange team and the blue team. The orange team is Asaf, Colleen, Emmanuel, Horacio, Jay, Mariah, Raven, and Zara, and the blue team, Burnout, Corey, Ed, James, Kylan, Michelle, Nerys, and Olivia. And so, yeah, we're thinking, okay, in the blue team, the girls are thinking, well, if it is a girls' day, we're screwed because it's Berna, Michelle, Olivia, Nerys. And then you have the guys, though, Kylan, James, Ed, and Corey. You know, we obviously know how that turned out. But yeah, it was scary either way. And if the orange team had lost, you know, Asaf, Emmanuel, Horacio, like those three guys are, and Jay, all of those guys are on pretty good solid ground. I mean, Horacio maybe is probably the most likely to go in out of that four, but it really exposes a lot of players in the game potentially. But we see that the orange team is going to win this daily. Jay seems to be really fast, and Jay gets a lot of you know, praise from the confessionals that he is, you know, he's a tough challenge threat. I don't want to see him in a final. What were your thoughts on the daily in general?
You know, it's like I'm not as high on the daily as you are, but mostly because of the last part of the challenge where it's like put the balls in the holes or whatever. I know they did like a montage and like did some like squid edit or whatever for Jay when they were like hyping him up. I just don't think it's that impressive. I don't know. Maybe like I'm the only one who's like, I don't know. I feel like I could do that. So to me, that's just why I'm just like, I'm like, really, do we need to get like a montage for this? And I just don't think it's a good look when they did like two or three time lapses or time jumps or whatever you want to call it for like that
ball. Three balls, a lot of balls.
I know it's a lot of balls, but I'm just like, I feel like they could have done something else to make it better for that part of the challenge.
Maybe so. But alas, the orange team is going to win, and they're going to have to nominate someone from the blue team to go in, and they find out that it's a guy's day. So the people that are up for elimination in the orange team vote are Corey, Ed, James, and Kylan. So the orange team kind of discusses, and, you know, it's pretty unanimous that it's Kylan going in. Orosky is really the only one trying to push back, but the team is pretty set on setting Kylan in, just because with Melissa gone, he kind of is on an island. But what did you think about this? It was pretty straightforward, I think.
Yeah, I just feel so bad for Horacio, because TJ every single time is like going to straight to Horacio. What's the vote, my man? And like you could tell Horacio at this point is like, can you ask anyone else, TJ? Like, why am I having to break the bad news to these people?
Horacio should just say, Corey, you're going, man. You should do something like that.
Yeah, well, like, what's stopping you? Like, well, like, what's, like, what happens if he does say that? Like, if he does say, like will the rest of them be like, no, that's not our vote? Like, what happens then?
You know, like, what, like, try to walk me through, like, Kylan's, like, MO here. Like, you know, Kylan doesn't seem surprised. I don't know. Like, to me, Kylan shouldn't be surprised by this. But, and, like, in person, like, he doesn't act surprised. But then in confessionals, he's like, well, like, I didn't think it'd be 7-1. Like, what did you think it was going to be? I don't know. Like, I'm surprised by, like, Kylan's, like, thought process behind this. And I'm not sure, like, exactly what he was thinking, because he gave some contradictory answers.
Yeah, it's, like, one of those things where if you take that confessional out, I think this episode is, like, very pro-Kylan. Like, I think he looks great coming out of, like, this episode. But when you have, like, contradictions like that, it's a bit tough to take him, like, at face value when he's, like, standing there going, like, you know, I should be glad that I'm going in because this way I can keep our money, or, like, whatever he says, right? But I feel like this is kind of, like, where Kylan is frustrating, because he says the right things, but you can tell just by his body and, like, his actions and all that stuff, that he's kind of like a wuss in a lot of ways when it comes to stuff like that. Or, like, he's not like the toughest guy, when even though he tries to be. I think, like, a better confessional by him there would have been like, hey, you know, it is what it is. I expected this, and I'm just gonna go in there and crush it, or something like that.
And that's kind of how he acted when you know, at the challenge when he got voted in. He's like, you know what, TJ, like, I played on taking home the money, so I might as well try to keep it. And that's a good answer to that question. I think for me, that Kylan with this episode has solidified his place on a future challenge. I don't think he's a one and done. I think he's going to get a callback.
I mean, I hope so, but I think it's also a good representation, you know, because like while I'm sitting here, I'm reflecting about it more, I called him a wuss, but that might also just be, like, because of, like his, like, anxiety and stuff like that, that shines through. It might also be because of, like, his, like, mental illnesses or mental whatever he has going on with him, right? Like, ADHD or autism or whatever he mentioned in the episode. So from that perspective, like, if there's a kid at home watching and saying that, like, look, I have this, but then this guy on TV also has and is acting, like, this tough, like, yeah. I think he's a good, like, role model from that perspective.
Yeah. Model stuff aside, like, you know, he's also, like, a very, you know, he's messy in a way. Like, he's playing the game. He's not just, like, letting things come in like James is, or, like, you know, like, he's actually playing the game, and he is and he's getting into showmances. Like he is what you want in, like, a new challenger. I think he's been great. You know, he's been great in elimination too. He's won now, I think he's 3-1 all time in eliminations for him. So, you know, he's got a lot of the things that you want in a challenge cast member. So I think Kylan solidified his place solidified his callback, I could say, for a future episode. But I also think, too, that if Mariah was not on this Orange Team deliberation, I do think that James is a much more likelier option. But Mariah is also not afraid to be the one to step out and say, hey, this is what I want to do. Like, a lot of these people are playing very passively, and rightfully so. Like, they don't, like, there's a lot of people are playing very, I don't want to say a scared game, but a very conservative game, because they have no reason to rock the boat at this point. Everyone that's rocked the boat in the past has gotten cut. So I think that's why we're seeing a lot of passive conservative gameplay here with this cast as a whole. And Mariah, being the not so great game player that she is kind of just, you know, saying, hey, like, yeah, I want to keep James, even though James isn't in anyone's alliance. You know, like, it's just silly. It's silly at this point. And because their whole alliance is like, hey, like, James needs to go, this, that, the other. But I don't know. Like, what do you think of Mariah being so insistent on keeping James in the game? Why is she doing it? And is she smart for doing it?
Listen, James must have, like, some serious riz, as the kids would say, because Mariah at this point is, like, sinking her own game and her own relationship outside of the game for this man.
Down bad.
Yeah, so, like, it's kind of crazy that she's seeing, like, all the red, like, all the red signs and all the red flags, and she's still going for it. At some point, you got to give her credit for sticking to her guns this much, because, like, you kind of want to see this, like, this type of messiness. But it's like, girl, like, this is, like, this is not good for you.
Yeah, and it goes to show Mariah's kind of inexperienced with the game as well. But at the same time, I would say, like, we also get to see a little bit more of James and his gameplay in this episode. Yeah, there isn't any. Like, seriously, there's not any gameplay when it comes to James. And so
My man literally said, if you vote for me, fuck you. That was his whole campaign.
Well, no, like, I think his whole thing was, like, I don't want to go around begging. And that was, like, well, you're not, like, this is a social political game. Like, you have to socialize. You have to politic a little bit. And James is, like, no, I'm not going to. Which is crazy, you know? Like, James's first season, like, James did the Challenge UK, right? I don't know if you saw it, Naveed. I don't think you did. I don't think you did, if I remember.
I did not.
Yeah, so Challenge UK, he was eliminated on the first episode. So, like, this man has, like, no challenge experience whatsoever coming into this. So it kind of checks out as to, like, why he's playing the way he is or not playing the way that he is. And, you know, he's not from a strategic show like Kylie is, or, you know, like other people in this house are. Like, Emmanuel is from somewhat of a strategic background. You know, Ed is not, so we see that there a little bit. But yeah, I just think that, like, James, like, Mariah at this point, like, the fact that, like, she's fighting for James and James is not giving her that same fight back, that's probably the biggest red flag for me. Like, Mariah mentions in a confessional that, you know, hey, like, James is my number one. Like, I'm James's number one. Like, I know if James doesn't go down, like, I know James will never send me down or nominate me, or he'll have my back if I'm ever in danger, which is, like, all cool and all, but, like, what? But, like, it goes to a point where it's like, how much is that really benefiting you? Because if it's just one person and you're isolating yourself from the rest of the house, you're screwing yourself. And that's what Mariah doesn't understand. Mariah doesn't understand that this is, like, hurting her far more than it is helping her.
Mariah, you have a boyfriend at home. Sorry, not a boyfriend, but you literally have a situationship at home. Like, what are you doing? You have champions coming into the game telling you of how bad the situation is back at home. Like, give this man up. He's probably not worth it. And, like, Bananas, of all people, in my opinion, is, like, the one guy you don't want to piss off, right? Because, like, he's almost like a producer at this point. So, like, if he's, like, going to give, like, the nudge or, like, the wink to, like, production saying, like, listen, I'm not going to come back if she's on the season, then, like, Mariah, you got to get your act together and, like, just dump this man.
Yeah, you know, this whole Mariah Bananas relationship is all very confusing. Like, last season, we saw a little bit of it. But not to the point where it was like, oh, they're the showmance of the season, right? Like, we kind of just were like, okay, yeah, like, Mariah likes bananas. They didn't do a whole lot. But I don't think their game, if I can remember correctly, I don't think their games really aligned all that much. So it didn't really matter in terms of the scope of the game. But they obviously got a lot closer after the game. But it was also to a point to where it was like, you know, like they were never a thing. Like they were never a couple. But Bananas is still all like salty about it. Like, I shouldn't be salty about it, even if you're not in a couple. Like, we've all been there. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm still confused by this whole Mariah Bananas relationship. And I hope that we get some clarity. Probably during the reunion, I'd imagine we'd get some clarity on it. But yeah, it's just weird because Wyatt, fellow reality and correspondent Wyatt, mentioned to me after listening last week, he's like, yeah, well, Bananas was filming House of Villains and Bananas was flirting in the House of Villains house with Corinne. And so it's like, so how serious is their relationship? But I do think that Mariah and James are much more serious than anything Bananas and Corinne had. Bananas and Corinne obviously never did anything after the show. And, you know, like, Mariah is throwing her game away for James. So, like, that is, like, that there are levels to it, right? And I think that, I think Mariah is just, like, totally taking your game. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, what else can we say? It's just, like, one of those things where, like, I think there's a good chance we'll see in, like, three episodes, Mariah might be out of the game by then. What do you think? Am I being too, like, too generous? Or do you think...
The thing is, like, I feel like people are not targeting Mariah. I feel like people are targeting Mariah's number one. And that's the thing with this group of the core alliance, right? This core ride or dies alliance with, you know, Michelle, Olivia Nerice, like those three, Mariah and Jay and Asaf kind of thing, right? But no one has ever said, I want Mariah out. Like, they've always said they want, like, they want James out. They want her, like, but also it's going to get interesting in that this is why the game is going to start to get very interesting, because you see that Jay wants Horacio out. You see that Mariah wants Horacio out. I'd imagine Michelle probably wants Horacio out to an extent as well. But Olivia's not going to want that. Nerese is definitely not going to want that. So, like, these people, it's going to get to a point to where these people are going to start to target each other's top players. And we saw a little bit of that as well with Berna. And that's something I also want to discuss in this episode. So Berna and Michelle have had a very interesting relationship during the season. Obviously, Berna and Michelle were on the same season together. Originally, was season 37, I think. And they were both rookies on that season. So they were close then. They've come in now. They're close now. Obviously, Michelle's done a couple more challenges since then. And she did Ride or Dies, and she has her Ride or Dies friends, allies, if you will. On top of that, that have been more loyal to her than Berna, and that also don't need a lot of coddling than Berna. The thing with Berna, though, that I at least want to comment on is the fact that she feels, and we saw this in her original season as well, she's very paranoid. She's a paranoid player. And there's probably some truth to what she is thinking. You know, oh, Michelle is closer with Nerese. Michelle is closer with Olivia. She hangs out with them all day. She doesn't hang out with me, but she says she's close to me. And I don't think that Michelle wants Berna in the game, but if push comes to shove, would she choose Nerese, Olivia, Mariah over Berna? Probably. Like, I don't know.
I'm gonna be a Berna defender this. I think I've been a Berna defender this whole season. I just think that she has the right gut instincts and she knows to trust her gut. And it turns out that her gut has been, like, mostly correct so far this season. Originally, like, the main argument she had was, like, you know, like when she was dancing or whatever, she was like, Big T and Melissa are mean girling me. They're bullying me and all. And it turns out they were literally like giggling and stuff, like when she was like dancing in the pool. And, like, right now, like you said, JB, like, I just think it's hard to, like, I don't think anyone can believe the fact that, you know, Michelle would protect Berna over, like, these other people who she has more history with. and like a deeper friendship with them. So I just think Berna's like right on the money here, and I don't think that she's wrong with like her I guess reads of the house.
Yeah, but at the same time, she is, the way that she's acting isn't helping her necessarily. By acting like all this, you know, by acting so emotional about this. Because at the end of the day, if you really didn't think Michelle was going to take you all the way to the end, you should have aligned with people like Big T, like Melissa, Zara, Colleen. Like, you have options here to align with apart from Michelle to get you further in the game. And she hasn't taken those opportunities. You know, I don't think that's true though,
JB. Like you're saying that she has other, like Big T and Melissa were literally like laughing at her and stuff like that. Like, but who else could?
Eventually they got over that. She didn't need to be the one to, like, she's hitched her wagon to Michelle and she's kind of accepted that, but she also feels like Michelle is, like not going to take her deep in the game. And, you know, if you felt that, you shouldn't have taken Michelle this deep. And, I guess when I say that out loud, it's like, well, Michelle probably wouldn't, like, have ever been targeted because she's been so protected this whole damn time. But, like, you should have kept around some different people. You should have been targeting Michelle's top allies. And then that way, Michelle would be forced to go to you. The thing is, like, with Michelle, I do think that a lot of the season and the cast has been in favor for her, but she's also had to put in some work to get to where she is. Like Melissa and Big T, I've thought about this differently a couple weeks back, but now I'm kind of like, now that I'm seeing that people are starting to think a little bit more freely and a little bit more independently, it's like, well, if they had just triggered that earlier in the season, we could have had a battle earlier on. But the battle's coming now, and these players like Berna, Colleen, you know, like Colleen had a moment during the episode where she's like, I'm on to Michelle and I'm on to Jay. And, you know, I'm the mole now. Mole is coming out. Like, where was this Mole in episode one?
That's a good question.
Like, why are we starting to play the game halfway through? That's what I'm struggling to get. And maybe it's just, you know, you don't want to make waves. You don't want none of that. But now you're getting to the point to where you're running out of numbers. And with this girls group, this Mariah crack is everything that they could ask for, Berna, Colleen, and Zara. And they can go about it in one or two ways. You know, Zara is kind of playing, hey, I'm just going to, you know, be friends with everyone. But Berna and Colleen have the potential to flip the game. And they may want to, and Colleen wants Mariah out. And I don't necessarily think that's the best way to go about it. But she is also picking up on Jay and Michelle having so much control over everything. And thing with Michelle, I don't think she's ever giving up that control on the girl side, but with Jay on the guy side, I don't think so either, because he's got Asaf and Corey will never betray him. Maybe Corey down the line late, and if he's like, I don't want to run a final against Jay, like, I could see that, but like, you know, Ed, Emmanuel, like Rossi, like, you could find a way to dethrone Jay on the men's side. You can also find a way to dethrone Michelle on the women's side, but it's going to be a lot harder. It would have been a lot easier, though, if you had a cohesive attack with Melissa, Big T, even Hohui could have helped you out there.
So this is I'm going to give a hot take here, or like a bit of like an analysis on this, on like what's going on in the game. It seems to me that the strategy this season is also very similar to what we see in Big Brother with like the Onion alliances, or like the Onion strategy, where like you have a core group, but then like it's like layers of like alliances surrounding that core group. I feel like that's exactly that's like what's going on here. Like we have like that core four of like, what was it, Asaf, Nerys, Michelle, and like Jay. And then they have like their alliances, and then those alliances kind of like have like mini groups. And then what's unfortunately happening is like, which is what we see with the Onion alliance, is that a week after week, someone goes out, and then sooner or later, where you thought that you were in a good position in the game, you start to realize that you're not. And before you could do anything about it, you're targeted and then you're sent home. And that might be exactly what's happening to Colleen. That's kind of like what happened to her right last week, where she was like, well, like, I haven't done anything against the alliance, but unfortunately, she's just not part of the core group, right? So she was sent down to the elimination. And I think that's kind of like what might be happening to Berna, which is why I think like Berna is having like this reaction. What do you think about that, JB?
I feel pretty strong about your assessment, because I do think that that was, like, now that Bliss and Big T are gone, it's, like, really started to, you know, get people to start thinking more about other targets. And Zara has been probably the next target on the women's side, because she is so good at elimination potentially. But also, this is gonna start to happen to Zara. Pauline got that treatment last week. Berna is next, and she has an idea of it. And Raven should know this is what's gonna happen.
And sooner or later, Mariah might be part of that list too, because they're gonna use
Mariah might kamikaze herself. Mariah might say, "Hey, we're this. Y'all voted for James. I'm flipping the game, and I'm coming for y'all with my one man army, James." Like, and at that point, like, the girls, I don't think they see Mariah as, like, a huge threat. Like, I'm gonna be honest. Like, I think that, you know, but maybe they'll start to target Horacio. Horacio is an interesting player because he has connections to this core alliance. And you would, and, like, Horacio is not gonna go up without some disagreement within that core alliance. Norris doesn't want it to happen. Olivia doesn't want it to happen, at least as soon as maybe some other people want. I don't know. Norris is also not going to want Horacio out. In fact, Norris and Horacio, I think, are still together. So if that's any indication as to, you know, how this season goes for them, at least it doesn't go poorly for them.
Top two queens and kings. Like, that would be the dream top two for me. Horacio and Norris, like, either one winning will take.
Yeah. And this is why I'm so high on this episode, because that's what this week really showed us, is, like, it isn't just a steamroll for Michelle, Norris, Olivia. Like, they're, like, shit's gonna happen within that group. And whether it's Berna and Colleen and Zara that are the ones to flip it, whether it's Mariah is the one that's to flip it, or whether this Horacio thing is going to just completely blow it up, and they are too, you know, they're too focused on keeping their men around. Like that's what it's ultimately going to be. And there's only going to be one winner this season, right? No male and female winners, like, one winner, period. And so that should be reason enough to want to target Horacio. And Jay, for that matter. Like, Jay is eventually going to get targeted as well. And we see this from Kylan, and Kylan and Horacio are starting to realize, hey, like, Jay is, you know, Jay's a big player, and, like, I should start to target Jay now. Jay wanted Kylan out because he knew Kylan was catching on. And there was a weird scene. I know it's, like, not at this point in the episode, but and I kind of want to steer it back to kind of what happened in the actual episode. You know, Jay was kind of explaining to Kylan why he was a target for people. And he mentioned it while Horacio was right there. And he basically told Horacio, like, bro, you're next. Like, that was crazy. Like, he basically said, you were attached to Melissa, people were threatened. Just like how Horacio was attached to Maurice and people are threatened. Like, that is exactly, like, basically what he said. That was crazy to me that Jay would say that in front of Horacio.
Yeah, I don't know, like, what he was thinking there. Maybe he's thinking that, like, oh, like Horacio and Norris, like, surely know that I got their back, that they, like, Horacio would not think any of the, and would not think anything of, like, what I'm telling to Kylan. But, like, man, like, he is, like, I think he might be too cocky when he says stuff like that.
Well, I don't know. Like, now that I think about it, it lets me think that I don't think that Jay would say something like that. So, you know, like, so cocky, right? Like, he probably said it in a way that was a little bit more car salesman-y. But the fact that Kylan clocked it immediately, and Kylan was like, bro, Jay, like, I don't care what you're saying. Like, I know that you're behind this. Like, to me, like, it might've just been easier to just put that in there. And I think the fact that, like, you know, Jay being so upfront and honest about how Kylan and Horacio are, I also think that's part of his style. I think that he's not trying to be sneaky. He's trying to just come from, you know, an honest place. And I can respect that to an extent. Because, but also he's putting a target on his back. He's like, hey, like, but I don't know. Would you rather people know that you're sneaky, or would you rather people know that you're targeting them?
Yeah, it's always like a big dilemma when it comes to the challenge, especially, right? Where I think it's kind of like, unlike Survivor, where it's kind of rewarded. Like, say again?
If you're getting stabbed in the front or stabbed in the back, you're still getting stabbed.
Yeah, and I think in like Survivor or Big Brother, it's kind of like rewarded when you're like sneaky and you're able to pull things off successfully. The challenge, I think it's better to play up front, because like the problem is that if you be sneaky about it, that shit follows you for like years for like future challenge seasons, right? Like we've seen all the time people saying future seasons, like, oh, you know, back in like this season, this person was very sneaky and like was very like was lying to me constantly. Kyle, I think, had this reputation for a while, if you remember. So I think that's why like being a bit more upfront for the challenge is like better.
The adopted strategy, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm pretty blown away by just like kind of how fluid the game has been, like when it comes to the strategy. I'm interested to see like how it kind of breaks down, because it feels like with like every challenge, more and more like lines are being revealed, and it's gonna like cause like the tension is just gonna continue increasing. Sooner or later, like, people are gonna have to make some like tough choices, and you can't just be like this big happy group forever, right? So, JB, I'm actually very pumped to see like what happens next episode, like what goes down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This thing that was a little bit easier than what they will probably have to make in the coming weeks between James, Ed, and Corey. You know, one thing I did want to pick up on, Ed, in his defense of like, hey, like, Ed is trying to politic a little bit here, but instead of targeting James, he's targeting Corey. Strange, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know really what he was planning there. I'll go ahead and give us the theory.
And they kind of alluded to this, right? So, you know, obviously Corey was voted in by the House a couple weeks back. And, you know, they were talking, I forget who had this confessional, but it was basically like, oh, you know, Ed is kind of, I think it was Nerys, in fact. She was like, oh, well, Ed is like having these conversations and all that, and it seems like Ed was not having these conversations earlier. Like, I like Ed, but he isn't really like playing like the game. Like, I'm sure he knew James was probably a target, but I think he could have been a little bit more strategic in this aspect, because obviously like Corey was a target, and Corey was, you know, called out on several occasions. And I just think that Ed's playing just a surface level kind of game. And part of that is because he hasn't had to play more than a surface level game up until this point. But he's not having the conversations of, oh, James is with Mariah, and Mariah is with, like, Mariah is picking James over our people. And that's why James was a target in this episode. That it wasn't because of anything Ed and Corey did. It's because of what Mariah was doing. So I think that, like, Ed is just not in the game at this point. And same with James. Like, James is also on the block similarly for this reason, you know? Like, if James was playing the game like how Callum was, like, at least Callum was with Michelle and, like, you know, in the core group, you know, I think that it's maybe a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, like, when it comes to Ed, I just think that's one of those things where he needs a few more seasons in him to understand, like, how to play, like, that deeper level game and not, like, this surface level, like you're mentioning. Because I don't know if you agree with me on this, JB, but I really feel like Ed is, like, one of the faces that, like, MTV might want to, like, have as, like, a mainstay for, like, the next generation of challenge players, if the challenge continues, I'm saying. Because he has like the right attitude. He's very funny. He's very likable, and he's good at. He's like, he loves competing, and I think he would be like a fun addition.
You know, who
he
kind of reminds me of a little bit.
Who?
Like, he'd be like the next Leroy, like, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Like, as he's like the token hero, if you will. Like, Leroy was around for a while, but he never really did anything worth, like, you know, supervillain vibes, like how, you know, CP and Bananas and Jordan and Wes have kind of developed. Like, he was kind of their foil. And I could see what you're saying about Ed, but if Ed got eliminated in this episode, like, would he ever come back?
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, that's why it really depends on, like, how he finishes this game. I agree.
He got an invite this season, to be honest with you. It does show that they are, you know, vibing with Ed, and they like him and his character and what he could bring to the show. But I do think that Ed needs to wake up and smell the roses a little bit, smell the coffee. Because I do think that he has it in him to be this, like, be this competitive player. I think ultimately Ed's just going to have to pick up and start to get with the program a bit. That was good enough in the first half, but in the second half, it's not.
Yo, did you see Berna flirting with Eddie? He was like, you look like a mix of Turbo and CT. I'm like, gosh, Berna, like, keep it in your pants. Like,
Ed got a wife and kid at home, basically.
Yeah, gosh. This is not Mariah.
Yeah, no. But from what I learned in this episode, Berna needs to be back on another challenge season. And so does Kylan. Ed, you know, you need to earn your stripes a little bit in the later episodes. But, yeah, James is going to go in. Also, James is not going to come back to the challenge. That's what we also learned in this episode. James is going to go in here, and it's a pretty easy vote. I think they probably did make it seem like it was a lot closer than what it was. Because ultimately, Ed got the message at the deliberation that Corey was nowhere near being a target. And Corey, like, I don't know, but Corey had a confessional where it's like, my hard work paid off. And it's like, well, did it? I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you think that this elimination, like, Corey, how much credit does Corey deserve for not going in?
I think he deserves credit for not going in, I think he deserves credit for getting two votes on Ed. You know what I mean? I think that's, like, a good sign that, like, he's doing the right things. You know what I mean? I don't think it's that impressive to say that, like, to flex and be like, my hard work paid off. I didn't go in compared to the guy who has, like, zero relationships in the house.
Yeah.
Except, like, the one girl.
It's not a huge flex. But I think with Corey, he deserves credit for, you know, because he was a unanimous nominee. Two guys days ago, or the last guy's day, I should say. And he went into this one without getting any heat. So, you know, because that's what we've seen with the girls, right? The girls, it was Melissa and Big T every single time until they got eliminated. The guys have gotten eliminated a little bit, you know, more frequently. But Corey was the unanimous vote at the last guy's day, and he doesn't get any votes here. And I think we should give him a little bit of credit, actually, because, you know, he could have easily been the house vote again. Like, he really could have. It was a 1-in-3 shot. But the fact that he was able to kind of stay in the background, I think that's what ultimately is the reason why. Like, he didn't give him a reason to put them in again.
Yeah, which you should get credit for that, because if there's anyone who's messy enough to give people a reason to put him in, it's going to be Corey.
Yeah. We'll go to the elimination here. It's Darrell. Darrell is back. What do you think about Darrell coming back?
I love seeing Darrell back. I like Darrell. I just feel bad for him because I think that they kind of set him up, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, to not do well this elimination. I think Darrell really shines, like, when he's, like, able to, like, get his hands on the opponent and just, like, start ragdoll them. If you think back to, like, what was it, Dirty 30 or something like that, or, like, I can't remember which one it was, where, like, he ragdolled Tony and, like, absolutely destroyed him. I think we would have seen something similar here if, like, it was a physical challenge. Otherwise, I just think that, like, when he has to do something like this where he has to, like, balance and, like, get, like, the flames going, it just doesn't fit his strengths, you know what I mean?
If Darrell pulled the mace, do you think Colvin?
Gosh, I have no idea. Like, maybe Emmanuel? Or, like, is that like him?
The only people
that
are Kylan James, Corey, and Ned.
Colin, Corey, maybe Corey, but like, I don't know, even that's like...
I was thinking it would have been either Ed or James. That's what I was thinking. I think, because he obviously knows about the whole bananas James thing. I think he might have gone for James.
But James is already there.
Well, he would have been able to choose anybody, including the
people. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were saying outside of those two. Like, okay.
Yeah, I would say if he had to choose outside of them, I think he would have gone for Ed, because Ed is like, you know, bigger and he wants the challenge. I don't know. But he's like,
I know. Yeah.
So it's.
Do you think Darrell cares about the bananas and Mariah situation?
Not really.
Yeah. No, he
can give less of a shit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's picking James for bananas' honor. Like, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. But alas, it is not the mace. Instead, he pulls Kylan's hole. And he's going to get Kylan in an elimination that we've never seen before. At least I can't remember if we've seen this elimination before, but it's called Firewalker. And so each player has this this six-sided platform. They're in like fire suits or whatever. And they have to be, and they each one of the sides has like a bowl that, you know, you can light a torch in. And you have to navigate the platform that's really heavy. You have like this like steering wheel thing, like pole, and you have to like kind of move it to each bowl for the flame. And whoever does it first is gonna win. I thought this was a really cool elimination, all things considered. I hate that it was Darrell that was the one to do this, because I do think that this is not Darrell's wheelhouse. And I do think that, yes, you know, it is not so it's a little obvious that we've seen now six challengers come in, and the two that they, you know, the four that were winners, you know, Jordan, Devin, Casey, and a little bit of Tori. Like, Tori not as much, but definitely the first three had eliminations that were to their strengths, and they won. But, like, with Taz, that was not her strength. And for Darrell, that was not his strength. And look at what's going on. You know, Big T beat Taz, Kylan beat Darrell, no elimination this week. But I do think that there is, like, you can't get every single contender or every single mercenary that comes in. You can't give them their full strength, because at the end of the day, like, you're trying to give these people a reason to say that they're on a champion level. And you can't really do that if the champions eliminate 10 of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Overall, though, like, this challenger was cool. And, like, you know, compared to, like, the crapshoots that we saw on, like, Challenge USA 2, I think this one was, like, it was, like, well done. And, like, it was, like, it had the cool shots. It was really, like, intense to see, like, close-up shots of, like, Darrell, like, sweating up a storm and, like, beads of sweat coming down his face as he's trying to, like, navigate this. Like, you could really see, like, how hard it could be from, like, when you see stuff like that. So, like, I think they did well when it came to, like, showing the challenge. I just don't know, like, if, like, this is something that I want to see back again.
Yeah, I would be okay if this didn't pop up again. But I do think that it would be... I think we could see it again. I thought it was a cool elimination, but I'm not going to be upset if we don't. But yeah, Kylan is going to get some help from the crowd, but he said it doesn't really matter, because how can you give advice for something?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm going to be real. Like, how do you, like, I don't know. If it were me, I would just be like, good job. Like, I would never, like, calm down. You got to move up. Like, I ain't done this shit in any before. Who has? Who has done this before that isn't Kylan and Darrell?
Yeah, did you even catch, like, anything that, like, the crowd was saying? I don't even know if they even said anything, like, they were just mostly, like, good
go
job.
Like, go slow now, go fast. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I thought it was a little rich of them to say that. But, yeah, Kylan is going to win this elimination. He's going to save the $10,000 from going into Darrell's pocket. And he's going to remain in the game. And honestly, you know, out of all the week, I hate episodes where there's no elimination, because I feel like there's no payoff. But I feel like the drama in this episode and the people that were staying, Kylan and James, I do think they offer enough drama to make me feel okay about this not being an elimination episode.
And it's like, you kind of feel like more confident in like Colin's abilities to get back in the game and then back in the social graces of people and like work his way back into like, you know, a majority alliance or whatever the case is, right? When it comes to like someone like Big T, you're like, Big Whoop, she's just going to go back in like next week anyway. Yeah, so it's like a little less like exciting to see her win versus like Kylan. So like I'm excited to see like how Kylan maneuvers moving forward, but it's a good win for sure for him.
So here's the question that kind of begs next, like, can this group like create a coup, or like can they flip the game? Can the minority flip the game? And Mariah is obviously going to be a big part of it, right? So Mariah and James are going to be part of it. Kylan is going to be part of it. Horacio is probably going to be part of it as well. But this is where it gets tricky, because I feel like with Horacio is not going to go against Nerys and against Olivia, and vice versa. So that's where I feel like the buck stops. Lyle said Olivia and Nerys are going to try to get Horacio to stop going for Michelle and Jay. Then maybe they'll say Jay, you know, hey, that's fine. But it's going to get to a point with Michelle, Nerys, and Olivia. The three of them all have a number one guy, and they're all still in the game. And so does Mariah. So they all of them have number one guys, and Nerys and Olivia kind of share one. So it's like the seven of them, but the nine outside of that are not going to go against the seven.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see like what happens. Like my guess is that sooner or later, like Michelle or someone might be trying to go after like Horacio, and that might be like the trigger or like the catalyst that caused like a coup to happen, right? Because I think at that point that Nerys or Olivia will like step in and say like, you know, what are we doing here? Like, we're not targeting Horacio. Like, that's my guy. Like, and unfortunately, I think it might be like one or two more weeks until we see something like that happen.
Yeah, it's definitely coming soon. We saw in that trailer that things are going to start to get a lot messier. Fights are happening. And Nerys and Olivia are even getting into it. So I feel like this season is only getting more exciting. I'm excited for it.
Same. And we're going to be here every week to cover it.
We'll be here every week to cover it. We do have an episode next week. Okay. I thought that because they were doing the the mid-season trailer, maybe they would skip a week, but we are going to get an episode next week. And then we'll be back again in 2024. So from last year's schedule, it looked like the season was 21 episodes. So yeah, that would be the halfway mark, because this was episode 10. And we saw it go from mid-October to early March was the reunion. So we started this season a couple weeks later than that, 2 weeks later, in fact. So we'll probably get a March finale and reunion, probably. Something like that.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So we still have like 2 or 3 months of Challenge 39, and I gotta say, Naveed, I'm as high on this season after this week as I've ever been.
Yes, I'm right there with you. I'm still not ready to say that this season is like definitely better than USA 2, because I really enjoyed that season, like the drama and like the cast for that one. But I'm excited to see like what goes down in like the later stretch of this game.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Reality Daily. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we'll be back again next week to talk another Challenge 39 episode. So we'll catch y'all on the flip side.